Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Václav Smil's How the World Really Works. Sophie, you read this too, right? What was your first thought when you finished it?
Hey there, Sam.
Honestly, my first thought was that this book should be required reading for anyone who makes predictions about the future. It's not about doom or hype. It's a reality check grounded in physics and data.
Right? Smil's whole thing is that we're disconnected from the physical stuff that runs everything. We think in terms of apps and screens, but the world is actually powered by concrete, steel, and fossil fuels.
Exactly. And he starts with energy, which is the foundation of everything. He reminds us that modern civilization runs on an insane amount of energy, and about 80% of it still comes from fossil fuels.
Yeah, and that stat about gasoline is wild. A liter of gas has about 10 kilowatt hours of energy. That's like 40 days of human labor. So when you fill up your car, you're putting weeks of human work into the tank.
It's a hidden subsidy we take for granted, and it makes the energy transition a lot harder than the headlines suggest. Solar and wind are intermittent. Batteries are heavy and have low energy density. So electrifying long-haul flights or container ships is a massive challenge.
And he doesn't even mention the materials. I read that a single wind turbine needs hundreds of tons of steel and concrete. You can't just wish that into existence.
Right.
And that's the point. He's not anti-renewable. He just wants us to understand the scale. It's going to take decades of unprecedented industrial effort, not just a few tech breakthroughs.
So then he moves to food, and I was floored by the Haber-Bosch process. Did you know that half the nitrogen in your body comes from a fertilizer plant? That's insane.
It's true. Without synthetic fertilizer, we couldn't feed 8 billion people. The Green Revolution was basically a fossil fuel revolution. High-yield crops need fertilizer, pesticides, and irrigation, all of which run on energy.
And then there's the environmental cost. Agriculture is responsible for about a quarter of greenhouse gas emissions. But Smil also reminds us that before this, famine was common. So it's not about going back. It's about transforming the system.
And he's honest about the trade-offs. That's what I appreciate. He doesn't pretend there's a perfect solution. Same with materials. He points out that the average person in a rich country uses about 50 tons of stuff per year.
50 tons. That's wild. And I love the concrete stat. The world produces 30 billion tons of concrete every year. That's more than any other material except water. And it's responsible for 8% of global CO2 emissions.
And recycling isn't a silver bullet. Thermodynamics means you always lose some quality and energy. So we have to find ways to make primary production cleaner, not just recycle our way out.
He also busts the myth of hyperglobalization. I always thought everything came from everywhere, but he says most economic activity is local or regional. International trade is only about a quarter of global output.
And the average traded good travels about 5,000 kilometers. That's a lot, but the Earth is 40,000 kilometers around. So it's not as global as we think. The real risk is concentration, like when one factory makes most of the world's chips.
So the fix is diversification, not autarky. Keep some domestic capacity and have multiple suppliers. It's not a new idea, but we forgot it in the rush for efficiency.
And then he gets into risk, which I found so refreshing. We're terrible at assessing probabilities. We worry about plane crashes, but ignore the risks of driving or poor diet. And we obsess over asteroid impacts when a pandemic is far more likely.
Yeah, that hit home. He's not dismissive of existential risks, but he puts them in perspective. The chance of human extinction in the next century is low, but a major civilization-altering event is more likely than we'd like.
His take on climate change is nuanced too. He accepts the science, but he's skeptical of apocalyptic rhetoric. He thinks the worst-case scenarios are unlikely, but we still need to adapt to some warming that's already locked in.
And he's hard on technological solutionism, the idea that a magic breakthrough will save us. He's seen too many promises fail, The tech we need is mostly here. It's about deployment and political will.
That's the core of the book for me. He's asking us to be humble in the face of complexity. No simple answers. The world is messy and contradictory. Progress in one area creates problems in another.
But he's not a pessimist either. He points out that the 20th century had world wars and depressions, yet we still made huge improvements in health and wealth. So there's reason for cautious optimism.
And that's the takeaway for me. We need to see the world as it is, not as we wish it to be. That's the only way to build a better future.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'm taking away is that energy is the hidden backbone of everything. Once you see that, you start to understand why change is so hard and so important.
And if you want to dive deeper into Smil's ideas or explore other big questions, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. They've got over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, starting at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. The world is complicated, but understanding it is possible if we stay humble and keep learning. We'll see you in the next one.